Luke chapter 7. Thank you.
I just thought somewhere along the way we need to talk about submitting to authority. That's a problem nowadays. The Bible tells us in the last days that will be one of the problems that we'll be dealing with. People will not submit to authority. I see that every day when I go to school and help there in the school. There was a young lady who, when I first went and began to work in the school, I'm sorry I have so many school stories, she's a lovely young lady, appeared to be. Her name was Elena. She was very friendly and sort of happy. And so we got to know each other a little bit. She sometimes would be in the hallway and we'd talk. And then I told her, Elena, you know, you have to get to class now. No, I don't want to go to class. I said, well, you know, I can't let you just stay here. You need to get back to class. And boy, she was defiant. I saw a side of Elena that I hadn't seen. And then she said, you're not my father. First of all, I said, thank God. But I kind of knew that even if I was her father, she wasn't going to listen to me. I didn't get the impression she listened to her father very well. Many years ago, when I first came to Ridgewood, one of my jobs was to drive the van. Remember those days, Brother Danny? You drove the van plenty, too. And I used to pick up the young people for youth group. We had such a great time in the van. We'd laugh, got to know them. I'd do my trick where I drive with my eyes closed. My dad taught me that. He'd close one eye, and all we could see was that closed eye. And then he'd start swerving, and we'd all scream. And we were sure that he was driving with his eyes closed. So I did that with the kids in church until it dawned on me, it's probably not good for them to tell their parents Brother Kenny drives with his eyes closed. So then I had to reveal to them that I always had my other eye open. Praise God. But we'd have a nice time in the van, and then we'd get into the faith home. And now I try to quiet them down, and some of them would be fooling around. And this was many, many years ago. And boy, they gave me a hard time. They liked me in the van, but they didn't like me in the faith home. And I wondered, what happened? A few minutes ago, we were having such a great time, and now you're mad at me, and you're not obeying me, and I can feel the resistance. You can cut it with a knife. And then it dawned on me, they just can't submit to authority. That's their problem. It's not that they don't like you. But when you become in a position of authority, they rise up against that. And, you know, that's in all of us, more than we realize. And here, this person talks to Jesus about authority. Now, when he had ended all of his sayings, this is Luke chapter 7, thank you. In the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, instantly saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation, and he built us a synagogue. So here's a Roman centurion, a Gentile, and yet he seems to have a love for the nation of Israel. He seems to have an interest in the God of Israel, I'm sure. And maybe he was converted. And so when his servant was sick, people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, he really deserves, he's really worthy of you coming and healing his servant. He's such a good fellow, and he's been such a help and blessing to our people. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Interesting. Everybody thought he was worthy. He didn't think he was worthy. You know, people can have very high opinion of you, but that doesn't mean they're right. And you can't let that go to your head. None of us are worthy of the blessing of God. none of us deserve or earn in any way any blessing that God can bestow upon us. It's all his mercy. And he was humble enough to recognize that, I don't know what other people are saying about me, but I know I'm not worthy to let you even come under my roof. I'm not worthy to allow you to be a guest in my home. And then he went on and he said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you. I sent my servants because I didn't feel worthy to even speak to you. My, what a sight he must have had of Jesus. What an impression. You know, when you get a sight of Jesus, then you get a true picture of who you are and where you're at. We were talking the other day about anybody that thinks that when they get to the end of their life, that if their good works outweigh their bad works, that God will let them into heaven. And we said, anyone that thinks that way about themselves doesn't have a clue as to how holy God is. If you think that any good work that you can do or any combination of good works somehow make you worthy to enter into eternal life, you don't know who you're dealing with. The Bible says that our righteousness in the eyes of this holy God are as filthy rags. The best that we can offer him in the light of his absolute purity and holiness is shown to be lacking, tremendously lacking. The things that we're proud of, when we get a sight of Jesus, we become ashamed of those very things. And so he said, I don't consider you worthy to come under my roof. I didn't even consider myself worthy to go and talk to you myself. And then he said, wherefore, I was not worthy to come to you, but just say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Just speak the word. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to touch my servant or pray over him. I know that if you just say the word, he'll be healed. And then he said, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to another, God bless you. And he's blessed. Do this, and he doeth it. Interesting. He recognized that Jesus was a man under authority. And he knew something about that. He recognized that Jesus did not just live the way he wanted to live, but he lived to please his heavenly Father. He submitted himself to his Father's will. He didn't go where he wanted to go or do what he wanted to do, but he sought his father's will, and he submitted himself to the authority of God over his life. And because he submitted himself to God's authority, God was able to place his authority upon Christ. That's how it is with us too. When we submit ourselves to God's authority, then God is able to place his power and his authority upon us. It comes through obedience. We like to think that we can command the devil to do this and to do that and cast him out and so on. And there are people in the Bible that tried to do that, and the devil laughed at them, beat them up, and chased them out of the house. Just because you said the right words doesn't give you any power. Power comes by submitting yourself to the power over you. And Jesus walked in perfect obedience, and that's why he had an anointing and a power and authority about him, that when he spoke, the demons had to obey. Healing came and sickness had to leave at his command. And so he says, I know what that's like because I'm a man of authority, but how did I get here? Well, because I had to learn to obey first of all. I had to learn to submit to my leaders. And as I did that, then there were promotions, and then I earned a position where now I had people that I could command, and they had to listen to me. And if they didn't listen to me, then I had the Roman army and the Roman government behind me to enforce the things that I command. Just as Jesus, he has all heaven behind him. All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, he said. And so Jesus marveled. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And so he told them to go back home, and they found out that the man was healed the very moment that Jesus sent them. Just this sort of authority. It's a problem. It's a problem in this generation. I guess we've all had it. But it seems very manifest in these last days. People not coming under. Sort of bumper sticker once, question all authority. And I see that in our young people sometimes. They don't like to be told what to do. Sometimes they won't do it just because you told them to. But I find that in older people too. I was talking about a relative of mine that if he knows that you want him to do something, for that reason he won't do it. Even if it's just some little insignificant thing. You know. Oh, this ice cream is really good. You should taste it. No, thanks. I don't want. Well, he didn't want to taste it because I asked him. I told him it would be good. It's good, and he should taste it. So, but you know, those little things make a big difference in our life as far as our relationship with the Lord is concerned. At Pilgrim Camp, you've got people that tell you what to do. You have department heads. And they tell you to do things a certain way, and maybe you don't want to do it that way. Maybe you do it differently, or you have a better idea. And so you give them a hard time, maybe. I don't think anyone here does that, but you never know. And you don't cooperate, and you don't realize that the issue is not how you do it or who told you how to do it. The issue is that you can't do it because you can't submit. And if I cannot submit to the authorities that God has placed in my life, I'm fooling myself if I think that I'm going to be able to follow Jesus and obey him and do his will. You know, Jesus says, if you can't love, right, in the letters of John, if you can't love those that you can see, how can you love God who you can't see? If you can't obey the people that God has placed over your life, how do you expect to obey God? We don't put those two together. We think that we can be a very spiritual Christian and not get along with anybody or not work together. And again, in the last days, uncleanness is going to be very prominent. We see that, don't we, all around us? Immorality and all sorts of uncleanness throughout society. And lack of submission. Questioning authority and rebelling. And that is also running rampant. But we as the people of God, there ought to be a difference in us. How is God going to use us to overcome the evil in the world if he can't get us to humble ourselves and obey? And so we need to learn those lessons. And the first authority that God brings into our life is our parents. those that learn to submit to their parents, to obey them, they're at an advantage over others. Kids that rebel and don't listen to their parents and fight against them and so on, they're at a great disadvantage. They can't listen to their teachers either. They can't listen to Brother Kenny in the hallway. They can't listen to their boss when he tells them to do something that they don't want to do. You know, I had little experience in the work world, and I'm amazed. Even at the school that I'm helping in, they tell me to clean this room. And so I'm happy to do it. They're paying me, and I got nothing else to do. You'd be surprised how many people, you don't have to do that. Those people should know that. They're grown-ups. They should know to push their chair in and wipe off the table. I wouldn't do that. I said, that's what my boss told me to do that, and that's what I'm getting paid for. I mean, isn't that what you're supposed to do? No, evidently not. So I found out. And people give me such a hard time trying to do the right thing. And of course, it shows there's something in them. And I thought, well, that's not so hard. If I do everything I do for Jesus, then it makes it so much easier. I'll do it for him. I'll push in the chair for Jesus. I'll wipe the table. I'll throw the garbage, whatever I have to do. I have no problem with that. But that's something God did in my heart and in your heart as well, I trust. And so if you find yourself being, you know, stubborn and unable to bend, and if you don't like when people tell you what to do, well, that's exactly what you need, people to tell you what to do. And you ought to take it as an opportunity to learn a lesson, to come down, to humble yourself, and to say, Jesus, teach me. Teach me how to submit. Teach me how to lay aside my own will and to yield myself to the will of others that you've put into my life as it's appropriate, because I develop within myself an attitude that is able then to submit to the Holy Spirit and his dealings with me. And that's how God makes me the man and the woman of God that he calls me to be. So that's a very simple thought, isn't it? But that'll keep you busy for the rest of your life if you really work on it. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's hard. But then it goes on to say we should all submit one to another. You know, I don't like these husbands that they beat their wives with the Bible, over the head with the Bible. I'm the head of the house, and you've got to obey me. That's what the Bible says. Don't you see the pride in that? Isn't that ugly? How about, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and work with her, work with her. She probably has more better ideas than you have anyway. You'd be smart to cooperate. Now, sister, control yourself. And so husband and wife are supposed to work together. And when one begins to demand that you obey them, and, well, that shows that there's something else wrong, that pride. You know, these things, these sins are so subtle that we actually think we're doing God's service and we're doing the spiritual thing, and the very thing we're doing is so contrary to the heart of Jesus. It's so far from Calvary, as Pastor Jim Cimbala sometimes says. That is so far from Calvary, that attitude. So I hope this is for someone here tonight. And nobody told me that anyone's being bad. And I assume everyone's working together well. But I know what it's like. I know what it's like to work at camp. I know what it's like to have people over me. You know, even as a minister, it's good to have people over you. You know, when I'm in Brother Ernie's church, he's in charge. I sit and listen to him and do what he tells me to do. And then I go to Ridgewood, and now I got three ministers over me. And then I go to Williamsburg, and Brother Phil's there. And then there are times when I'm leading the meeting, and they cooperate with me, and we work together, because we want Jesus to be glorified. And we've learned in our seeking Jesus, in our obeying Jesus, and submitting to him, we find it easier to submit to one another. And in that way, we keep unity, and there's a flow of the Holy Spirit that isn't interrupted because our pride gets in the way. And so, you know, I notice in school, I notice that there are some kids that are, they're rare, but they show respect. You admire those young people. They're mature in your eyes. And I told them that. I said, how come you're not running around crazy like everybody else? I noticed that. I just want you to know that. And I respect that in you. I was teaching one boy the guitar. They gave me opportunity to teach guitar. And I started out with 29 students on the first day, and I ended up with two. It's not because I'm a bad teacher. It's because it was during recess. And they'd rather go out and play and chase each other than sit in another room listening to me. But this one fellow was so respectful, and such a nice young man, and expressing appreciation. I tell him to do it this way, and he did it that way. Thanked me 100 times. I taught him Amazing Grace. I took a chance. I figured, well, everybody, even Elvis sings Amazing Grace. I can't get in trouble for that. I found out he's a Seventh-day Adventist. And he thanked me for teaching him Amazing Grace. And then he gave me a little gift at the end of the year. It was in Spanish, so I don't know what it said. It was some booklet and then a tract from his church. And then he thanked me for teaching him the guitar. And he really enjoyed the fact that not only could I teach him the guitar, but that we were of the same faith. And then he said, I'm graduating, going to high school now, and I'll try to visit if I can, but if I can't visit, I'll see you again. When our Lord returns from heaven, brings us all home. That was so sweet to me, as you can see. I'll see you again when we come together and go home to be with Jesus. And so that boy, he's learned something from the Lord. I could see it in just his whole demeanor. And he stood out among hundreds of students. It's rare, but it shouldn't be that way among the people of God. It should be very common that we know how to obey and submit. And when there's that rising up within us, we don't put up with that. I close with this thought. I got a sign that somehow I inherited from Brother Gardner. Brother Gordon Gardner. He used to hang it. It used to be hanging in his room, and now I have it hanging in my living room. And it says, when things did not go his way, he was pleased. That's a strange sign. You're not going to find that in a Christian bookstore. I got news for you. When things did not go his way, he was pleased. And I understand that somebody made that plaque about Brother Gardner's father. Is that? That he saw that when things did not go the way I wanted them to go, instead of getting all upset, I assume that the implication is he was pleased that here's an opportunity for me to humble myself and to receive grace from God to be what he wants me to be. Boy, I come into the living room and I look at that sign and I think of what just happened that day, and it gives me a whole different attitude. I say, Lord, maybe that's good for me. Thank you for letting that happen. Now help me to respond properly. Give me the grace to humble myself, to submit, to love. And I find that in these very practical ways, the Holy Spirit is constantly teaching us and constantly working to make us more like Jesus and to make us a greater blessing in this world. And he's doing it in you too, isn't he? So, you don't have to go to Bible school. It's good if you can. But every day is a school of the Holy Ghost. If we would open our eyes and realize, when that person said that and I didn't like it, here's a chance to learn to obey and learn to submit and to humble myself. Wow, what a lesson. That'll get me really far. Jesus help me. And he does. Amen. Praise God.
Teach me, Lord.
Perfect song. Let's sing that. It's number 24 in our white book. Praise God. And then we have time to wait on the Lord and deal with God about these things and ask God to give us grace to apply these lessons to our life. Oh, isn't it wonderful to have a Father that loves us so much that He takes time to work with us and teach us, and how patient He is. But, oh, Jesus is determined to make you like Himself and to fulfill His purpose in you. And He's going to get those things out of your life that stand in the way. And we ought to thank Him for that. Praise God. Number 24. Let's sing it.
If thou would have your Savior from heaven,
God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brother Paul, will you pray with us, please?
Lord, we thank you that you have the grace to make this lesson that we have heard about real to us. If there's the slightest bit of that in us, Lord. You come to us.
Yes.
Touch us. Remove it, Lord. Help us to bow low before you in everything we do. And we will always give ourselves to you totally, every moment of every day. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to help us with these difficult lessons and these difficult words that we hear. But you are able, Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, yes.
Amen. God bless you. You're officially dismissed by me. I don't know, by the Lord, but let's take some time, if you can, to just wait on the Lord, deal with him about these things we've heard, and believe him to put a response in our hearts that will glorify him. Amen. God bless you.